Welcome back, everybody, to the Six Colors Podcast. I am Jason Snell, and across the internet from me, my co-host for this podcast, Mr. Dan Morin. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Jason, if that is who this is.
I thought I'd introduce this like a regular podcast, because we're going to do something different this week.
I don't like change, Jason. It's scary and unnecessary.
Yeah. Well, everybody's doing their wish list now, okay? I've got wish list envy. Everybody's doing their wish list. We're a month out from WWDC now, and, you know, everybody who had a to-do item that they put on their last year to write their wish lists a couple of weeks before WWDC started on the first week of June, they've all done that. Of course, it's not starting the first week of June, but that hasn't stopped them. And I thought, well, okay, we probably need to do our version of that, right? Like, we should not be left out on the wishing. I love wishing.
I mean, it's a ninth level spell for a reason, Jason.
Deep cut. One day I'll play a character who can be at that level.
Oh yeah. That's way far. See, let me point out, you don't get to cast ninth level spells at ninth level.
No, you
it's
don't.
At like level 18 or 19.
One of these days we should play a D&D game where we're not level
high
5.
Level.
Yeah, just a someday. Little bit higher, just a little bit, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Somebody pointed out that we've never been beyond level 6 in 200 episodes of Total Party Kill. It's true. It's true.
That's true, except for one of the campaigns that's not fully released yet, which is at level 7, I think, or about to be.
Oh, about to be, yes.
About to be.
See?
Unless it gets summarily killed.
They get killed and that's the end. That's nice.
Yeah, that could happen.
So we're going to draft wish list items today. And then maybe you and I will then write those items.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
In an article, but first we have to draft them. So the idea here is that we're going to go back and forth and just sort of pick things that we wish to see. We wish to see at WWDC.
That's a little rhymey.
We have a little list. And
so talk to me about the rules here, because I know you love your drafts.
If I pick it, you can't.
That's a good rule. Are we going a specified number of rounds?
Until we're tired of it.
Okay. We've got a lot of items, is my point. I don't think we'll get to all of them.
I don't think we will. And because I spoke first, you can go first. And this will not be a snake draft where you pick two and then I pick two and then you
pick two. That seems unnecessary.
Right.
Also, I hate snakes. So that sounds great
to me. Why did it have to be a snake draft? I don't know.
Why?
It's not.
All right. Okay, and anything is on the table. We're not like breaking it down by category. Everything is on the table
from the document we've got, and if you think of something that's not in the document, just put it in the document and then take it.
I like this plan. It's worked so much better than other drafts where I have to plan for four different people.
Dear listener, I also want to point out this document was made in the last 20 minutes. So
we're probably missing things.
Probably.
I feel like there are things that I looked at and go, didn't I want more things? But maybe I've just learned to moderate my expectations. I don't know.
Right. How much wish casting are you doing with your wishes? Are you wishing for magical things that won't happen? Are you wishing for things that will happen?
I'd like to use my first wish casting wish to wish for more wishes.
Okay. That's great. It's a ninth level spell.
Damn it.
So you can have as many as you want, but you really only have the one spell slot.
It's always the way. There's always a little stupid limited wish. All right. I'm ready. Are we good?
Yeah.
Good to go?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pick my number one item on the board, which is the... Maybe this is a bold move. I don't know. The Armon Mac announcement.
Oh, yeah.
That's my number one. That's what I want. I think... We're doing a little spiel? We'll do a little spiel about why?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think the reason... is I am very excited by the possibilities inherent in this. I don't think, let's be clear, if they come out, you know, in a month and say, we're going to transition the Mac to new custom-built processors that we're designing, and it's going to happen over the next 6 months, 8 months,
well, it might even
whatever.
Be, it's going to happen in early 2021.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And who knows, they may, as we've discussed before, maybe some Macs don't move immediately, and by immediately I mean for several years. Who knows? Could be a hybrid model. We don't know anything. But I don't think, A, that there will necessarily be a product to roll out. There's another issue. There's another thing on the wish list, which, you know, maybe you'll pick. But I think what it signals to me is a couple things. One, it's another sign of Apple's ongoing commitment to the Mac as a platform, right? Because it's, you know, a lot of people were concerned over the last several years saying, like, well, you know, they only care about the iPhone and the iPad, the Mac's getting left behind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, they've demonstrated that they're continuing to roll out new Mac models, especially on the high end, and that they are committed to a future to the Mac. That said, the Mac has started to feel kind of staid, kind of, you know, conservative. And I think that what this says to me is, we're willing to give like the attention that we're giving to like other product lines in which we design the whole widget, and we're bringing that approach to the Mac, and that means even more ability to custom design these things and tweak them and really optimize them. And that's, I think that's all good. I think that is all stuff that will really benefit the Mac and Mac users in the short and long term. And to me, that's a big signal. I think I am really looking forward to hopefully a, you know, a lightweight Mac laptop with insane battery life, for example. Like, I think to me, that is something that I really am intrigued in. And I think that this, yeah, I think it's overall a statement. It's planting a flag. It's saying that the Mac is here to stay for a long time. And it's exciting. It's exciting. We don't get a lot of excitement, I feel like, in the Mac realm these days, especially not stuff that's like across the entire Mac line, right? Like, you might get the Mac Pro, and that's exciting, but like, you and I and most people are never going to see a Mac Pro,
right?
Much less buy one.
It's just a rumor to us.
Yeah. I mean, we have seen it, but still, you know, we're not going to go out and buy a Mac Pro. It's not something that's going to impact our daily lives. It's nice that it's there, but, you know, I think this heralds a long-term shift in the platform, and this is a robust platform that's been through this stuff a bunch. So I think it's good. I'm excited for it.
All right, my first wish list item is going to be an iOS audio API.
Yeah, okay, that's smart.
And I've beaten this drum before, but I'm going to do it again, which is iOS treats audio in a very, very simplistic way, mostly because of decisions made early on in the development of the iPhone, which, you know, I think the iOS exists because of the iPhone, and it's great, but also there were some limitations of the iPhone that have come to burden iOS and iPadOS going forward. And one of them is audio. For example, like the best example I like to give is on my Mac, if I play audio from like music from the music app and then play video in a browser window, they just both play. And on and it's my choice what plays on iPadOS and iOS in general. One thing can play, one app can play audio at a time, and that's it. It goes way beyond that, but that's just an example of how simple it takes audio. So obviously, I want apps to be able to have access to audio streams from different apps. I want the bottom line is I want Rogue Amoeba to be able to write a version of Audio Hijack that runs on iOS. But more important than that, I want the ability to do things like record my voice from a microphone and record the audio coming out of a voiceover IP app at the same time, two separate files that I can do podcasting on my iPad, because this is the one piece of the puzzle that still doesn't exist. Also, having the kind of Mac level sound support, and the Mac sound on the Mac isn't great. You have to use tools like Audio Hijack and Loopback to get it.
But those tools exist.
But at least they can exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the iPad, routing your audio, choosing where it goes, and routing to multiple outputs and things like that, also part of the deal. So yes, audio, improved audio and an audio API so that iPadOS and iOS in general can better handle audio stuff that it's basically incompetent at right now.
Yeah, I added in a parenthetical to this item the routing to multiple outputs because of situations as simple as you have two people trying to listen to something off an iPad. And yes, if you both have compatible Apple headphones, you can do that audio sharing thing. But that's the only example, right? Like, you can't even do something like somebody plugs in a pair of Lightning headphones and somebody plugs in a pair of, like, a standard headphone jack, like, to both at the same time. It will only play audio through one of those. And it's like, like, in theory, you could do this. You could deal with this.
Yes.
But, yeah, yeah, that would be nice.
Wouldn't it, though? All right.
Wouldn't it be nice? All right, man, there's so many things.
So it's a snake draft, and
list.
I get to pick again. No, go ahead.
No! Cobras. No. I am going to pick a revamped multitasking system for iOS, specifically iPadOS, because you mentioned audio being one of like the last sort of things that really is an impediment. And I think the other thing for me specifically, and I know a lot of people who, you know, get a lot of multiple tasks done at the same time on the iPad, but I think the multitasking system there is in dire need of improvement. It is something that to me still feels inferior to macOS multitasking. And it's not that it has to be like overlapping windows, the exact same thing as on, you know, on the Mac. It's just that it has to be better than what's there now. And part of that is the limitation of putting apps, you know, side by side. Part of it is it's just a finicky system overall, and all the improvements that they have made make it feel in some ways clunkier instead of more elegant. So, for example, was it just in iPadOS, the first version, that they added the whole like multiple windows for an app thing?
Yeah.
I don't mind that, but it adds this whole layer of complexity that is just harder to manage, I find,
for
then.
Sure.
And it's just, you know, things like being able to move any arbitrary app into one of the multitasking spots is still kind of a pain. Like, just in general, it feels like it's more something that I spend a lot of time struggling with than something that really adapts to the way that I want to use it. And there have been a number of concepts that people have put out. I don't think anybody's nailed it. And I think, you know, quite frankly, Apple hasn't nailed it. And, you know, that's probably why we're still stuck with this, is they haven't found a better solution yet. I'm hopeful that there is something that they're working on. But for me, that's the other thing, in addition to audio, that keeps me, you know, from wholeheartedly using my iPad for basically everything.
It's a good one. I think I'm not as big a critic of the existing multitasking system as many people are, although I agree the multi-window thing is just so confusing, because it's like multitasking but not, and that's like, I find that very confusing, that windows are sort of separate apps but sort of not, and it's just so strange.
Yeah.
Another take on it, more broadly, I would say iPad OS, now that we know that it has these different input modes, including keyboard and mouse, a lot of stuff could probably be revisited to sort of say, how does it work in this mode, in this mode, in this mode, and have it all kind of work together.
Yeah, heck, something as simple as just being able to tell which of these panes am I typing in right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a must. I mean, that absolutely. Even if they do nothing else, they need to do that.
Yeah. Got to do that.
Okay. I'm going to do a little bit of a Hail Mary here. This is a big one. You know, you and I and everybody else who talks about Apple has talked for a long time about how Siri needs to get better. Mm-hmm. And how Siri is a service and it runs in the back end and it's kind of a black box, and it can improve over time and it can improve incrementally and it can be kind of invisible and they just kind of keep adding things to it, and then it gets better over time. And recently, you know, there's somebody new put in charge of Siri and all this stuff going on. But the fact is, Siri hasn't gotten better over time. Not really. Maybe here and there. But mostly, it's still really frustrating and annoying, and I don't use it very much. And so my Hail Mary pick is going to be throwing all of that away conceptually and saying, we realized we couldn't fix Siri a little bit. We needed to fix it a lot. And so we are introducing Siri 2.0. And like, seriously, like, in the background, this is my dream here, right? In the background, we've been working for the last few years on all the things that are wrong with the initial conception of Siri. And we decided we had to build a new Siri. And, you know, new Siri will be available for, you know, beta testing this over the summer, and it'll be on all the devices that ship in the fall. But, you know, new Siri has, and what is new Siri? Well, it's accurate. It's more accurate. That would be good. A bunch of more data types. That would be good. And then hooks for third parties in order to use it for more other, you know, kind of control or data sources or things like that, including querying remote data. There's lots of things they could do, but I'm not going to get into the specifics. I just kind of want to see Apple take almost take a mulligan on Siri and say, yeah, Siri was great. We were first out the door, but it was really early. And the last couple of years, we've rethought it. And now we have a new Siri. And here it is, rather than it being sort of this thing that's stuck in the mud and occasionally moves.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny because I've been on that train for a long time with the Siri 2.0. And it's boggling when you remember that Siri came out 9 years ago.
Yes.
And they have never done this kind of overhaul.
The iPhone 4S.
Yep.
2011.
Was the launch of Siri.
Oh, boy.
What do you have?
All right. Let's stick with the iOS setup. I think, speaking of things that have not been overhauled in a very long time, I think it's time to revisit the iPhone and iPad home screens. I think it is time, after 13 years. We've had some very minor tweaks. You know, they added
We've had some good times.
We've had some good times. I remember them well. But, I mean, like, folders themselves, those came out probably close to 10 years ago now. Other than folders, the only thing that's been changed is on the iPadOS, where you have those, like, the optional widget column in landscape view, which is nice, but is kind of rigid in terms of what it allows.
It really
can
only
usually fit like two, maybe three widgets on there, depending on the size. And I just think that an array of icons made a lot of sense when people were getting used to the smartphone lifestyle. But 13 years in, I think most people are pretty clear on it. And it seems like one of those things that could easily be bifurcated to the sense of if you really, like, just by default offered a grid of icons like you've always had, that's great. But if you added then some ability for people who are a little more comfortable with that to essentially arrange their home screens the way they want. I feel like there were some attempts on other platforms. Like, you know, obviously Android has widgets and stuff like that. I don't think their approach is the best either. I feel like Windows Phone way back when had some interesting ways of approaching, like, what is the information you really want to see on your home screen, right? It's not just about apps. It's about, like, I want to glance at my phone and get information off of it, you know, in the same way I might want to glance at my Apple Watch. So for me, I think it's twofold. One of it is adding more information sources, whether they be widgets or perhaps letting apps just sort of take over a larger portion of the interface and display information as well. I think another part of it is reducing... not every app needs to appear on the home screen, right? Like, I have folders and folders and folders. I have pages of folders. I don't need all those apps because I rarely go to a folder and find an app and tap on it. I use Spotlight. So if a lot of people are launching things via Spotlight, maybe there's an option to, like, let you clean up your home screen as well and not have hundreds of apps littering it all over the place, because I think that just, it adds nothing. It doesn't help anybody. So I think it's time, after 13 years, for the home screen to get a substantial rethink and a revamp. I think that would be great for everyone.
I agree with you completely. I think it's time. I think not having to have every app that you have installed have an icon on the home screen, that is my number one there.
Silly. It's just silly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What do I want to do next? There's so many things out here. I want to give some love back to the Mac. But how? What's the right way to do that? I'm going to say improvements to the security issues on the Mac. And what I'm really talking about here is so I installed ScreenFlow last night because I need to do some screencasts. And the requests for permission to do everything it needs to do in order to record your screen and record your key presses and make a screencast, it's hilarious because it repeatedly has to ask for new permissions. And the way that you give approval is not to say okay, but is to open system preferences, go to the privacy setting, go to the right tab, go to the right item within the tab, unlock, and then check a box or drag in a helper app, then quit the app in question and restart it. And then maybe it'll ask for a different permission, and then you have to go do that, which I also had to do. And I thought, this is terrible. This is an absolute terrible thing. And I complained about this. I complained about this to people at Apple last summer, in fact. It's still there. I hope that they've addressed it, because there is no reason that the system should make you leave an app, go to a different app, drag some stuff around, check some boxes, click some things, quit it, quit the other app, relaunch it yourself in order to get a permission for something on your computer. Like, I use ScreenFlow, and ScreenFlow says ScreenFlow needs to look at the keys you type in order to show what keys you type in a screencast. Okay? Okay. And if it's like, well, the system wants you to put in your password because this is kind of a big deal, great. I'll do it. That's how it should work. I can't believe that they've built this thing where the primary way you have to do it is to go to a separate app and authenticate and maybe find the app in question, because sometimes right. It's a helper app. It's so bad.
If nothing else, it should just be like one dialogue box that lists all the permissions, maybe with checkboxes if you really don't want it to give access to something or other, so that you can do it all in one shot. But like seven different dialogue boxes and going to a separate app.
It's so ridiculous. And I like we all appreciate, I think, Apple's desire to make the Mac safer from apps that want to try to do bad stuff. But I can't tell you how many times I launch a new app and I have to do this ridiculous dance. And I'm a power user, and I have to do this ridiculous dance where I'm going around and authenticating and moving and checking and all these things. And then it throws up the dialog box that says, oh, you need to quit and relaunch in order to use the app. By the way, that's also kind of a lie, because sometimes the app doesn't relaunch and it's fine and it's gotten the permissions. I don't know what that's about. So, yeah. So basically, it needs to be way better than what it is in Catalina. And I hope they've spent the last year thinking of ways to make it less awful.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm with you. All right. I think this is starting to feel like airing a list of grievances more than a wish list.
Yep, I got my titanium pole right here.
But I'm going to keep along the route because it seems to be working for us. I in fact tweeted about this morning, I have no frustration using my phone on a daily basis more than dealing with autocorrect and typing. And I think this whole system, again, needs a rethink. I related on Twitter this very morning as we report this that I had a dream where I was like undercover with some, people assaulting this house, and somebody I knew was in there, and I was trying to text them like, you gotta get out now, and I just kept typing gibberish and being like, argh! And having to delete it and then go back, and it was still wrong. And it's like, everybody's looking at me and they're like, what are you doing? Who are you texting? I'm like, nothing, don't worry about it. And it's like, what kind of stress dreams about autocorrect am I having, right? So for me, I think there's, this is kind of a multifold thing, but I think the biggest thing is autocorrect can be fine when it's used in certain situations, but I think it's overly aggressive right now, and it's whatever algorithm they're using to try and figure out what you meant to type is just not very smart. I've heard a lot of people with problems where it's like, I'm trying to type the word were, and it insists that it's the word we're, the we apostrophe re.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, come on. Like
I just yesterday I had a phrase that I typed in a text message to somebody, and I am a professional writer and editor, and it was a normal sentence that used its properly.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it corrected it into its incorrectly. And I thought, even based on context, you should be able to tell which way it's
so
supposed
bad.
To be. And you certainly shouldn't assume it's the other way. And I thought I just typed a sentence perfectly and now have to go back and correct it so that I don't look like somebody who doesn't, a professional writer who doesn't know basics of grammar. It's so frustrating.
It feels dumb because it's like, I can understand, like, maybe you figured, oh, nobody ever uses the right it's, they always mean it's apostrophe, but then you can't assume that. And sort of an ancillary to that is, I would like to see some smarter improvements at typing, or at least recognizing the way people type differently. for some reason, I guess just based on the way where my thumbs hit, I have the problem where, like, whenever I want to put spaces between words, a lot of times I hit
periods.
Like N or B or something like that.
Oh, that's all. That's also great. I also do that with where I hit the
periods as well in Google. So, and especially when you're searching in Safari. And it's like,
periods. Google has figured out that those are spaces.
Yes, Google will actually fix that
but
for
yes,
you. And it's like,
I'm having a great time, B. I'm having a great time, N.
Yeah. It's so frustrating. It's like, come on, you can tell. Again, you can tell I've hit the end of a word. I'm probably looking for the space bar. And it used to, I remember Apple talking in the very early days about the soft keyboard and how much thought went into it and how they would do things like alter the size of the hitboxes depending on what it sort of predicted you might type next. And I feel like either it stopped doing that or it got a lot worse at it, because there's a lot of times where it's like, all right, my thumb may have been right in the border between N and space bar. But again, look at what I typed. Think about the predictive nature of this. It's just a place where the algorithms really need to be improved. The situation can be much smarter. And I've used the swipe keyboard a bit. I find that it's not bad, but it has similar problems with being like a little too literal about where your finger is, as opposed to sort of looking at the motion you're making and sort of interpolating that, which other swipe keyboards do better. So all of that whole keyboard section, the autocorrect and the typing, all need a just some sort of overhaul so that it's not an exercise in frustration every time I want to type like a one sentence text message. There we go.
All right. I took a couple of items that I realized were actually one item that I put in the document, and I'm going to pick it as my fourth pick, which is, maybe we'll do five each. How about that? Top 10 wish list items.
I need to think that.
So plan for your last one. We'll bring out your dead round after that. How about that? So I use the workout app on my Apple Watch. I have some connected health devices. I really like the health app on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Here's my frustration with it, though. If you buy a Bluetooth connected thing like a sleep monitor or a blood pressure cuff or anything like that, you have to pair it to your iPhone, because the health app is only on the iPhone and on the watch. I don't understand it. It's my health data. I want to see it wherever I am. And in my particular use case, I don't sleep with my iPhone next to the bed, but I sleep with my iPad next to the bed. So if I want to pair a health device using Bluetooth that's in the bedroom, I want to pair it with the iPad, not the iPhone. And you just can't. You can't. And some devices come with their own apps and they run on the iPad and you can pair them, but it doesn't go anywhere because of there not being a health app. So my big picture item here is, I think Apple is very big into health and health related features because of the Apple Watch, but in more broadly than that, I want Apple to say the health app runs on all Apple platforms. Okay, it doesn't have to be on the Apple TV, although it could be, but like, I want the health app on Mac, I want the health app on iPad, and I want my Apple ID to be able to sync my health data across those devices, so that if I want to look up some information that I recorded on my Apple Watch in the health app on my iPad, I can actually do it, which I can't right now. I have to go to my iPhone. So health app everywhere on all my devices so that I can look at it anywhere, especially on Mac and on iPad. That's my request.
It's a good one. Yeah, I agree. I think
I don't know why Apple is so health focused, and yet you can't look at health data on your Mac or your iPad. I don't understand.
Yeah, and I understand, like, there was a whole argument to the security of it, but come on, guys, you got iCloud, it's encrypted. Like, you should be able to handle this.
Yeah,
it's fine.
If you can't trust your own cloud data and your own encryption to keep my health data safe, then you can't trust yourself to keep any of my data safe, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, this should all be under the same standard. I want my encrypted information synced across my devices, and I want to see my health data on my iPad and my Mac.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I only got one left. I think I'm going to go with a personal wish.
Okay.
One maybe limited, but I want it, which is I have my iMac on my desk, and I have a pair of HomePods on my desk, and I have a pair of computer speakers also on my desk, each next to each HomePod, which is stupid. But I cannot output audio from any app on my Mac except for the music app. That's the only music. The music app is the only app that will output to the HomePods. There is no system level audio output to the HomePods on the Mac. Now, you can't. Sorry, I should specify. You can output audio to a HomePod. You cannot output audio to a stereo pair of HomePods.
Right.
So, if you have one HomePod on your desk, fine. But you miss stereo sound. And it's like, I've got a perfectly good pair of stereo speakers here. I can't... Why would I switch to using one HomePod instead of a pair of stereo speakers? But, again, like... It's two HomePods. And the stereo pair thing, this could, you know, snowball a little bit larger. Stereo pairs on HomePods are kind of touchy. I definitely have times where I try to output audio and it from my iPhone and it only goes to one of them.
Uh-huh.
And I have to, like, stop it and repair. I sometimes
talk to them and only one of them answers and starts playing. And then when I touch one of them or the other one, then a different thing starts to play out of the other one and they get confused. Yeah. So, and it's not good.
There is a larger, I did have a larger HomePod improvement thing on this list, but it was specifically the fact that you sell these two devices, you let me pair them in stereo, and the Mac just doesn't know that exists. It still sees two HomePods. I find it baffling. And it's been this way for a little while. Like, they've at least released one major Mac OS update since the HomePod came out, if not two, probably two. And this is nowhere to behold. Like, so clearly, I guess they assume not enough people bought two HomePods. But it's like, but I did. I want to be rewarded for my two HomePods that I bought and I have in a stereo pair. Let me just get rid of these old computer speakers and just use my HomePods for all my Mac audio. I think they would be perfectly fine for that. But no, that's not an option.
No.
So, yeah.
All right. I have a huge list of iPad improvements I want, but I've been trying to not pick all iPad stuff. But I am going to pick one more iPad thing. And the feature in particular that I'm going to wish list is my last item here, is proper external display support for the iPad Pro. And by that, I mean, right now, if you attach an iPad to an external display, it will either mirror the internal display, or it will, in some apps, it will give you like an output view. And the idea there is basically if you attach a monitor or projector to Keynote, and then you do a Keynote presentation, you can see your slides and notes, and the output goes with just the slides. It's that kind of thing. But it's not like the app proper. And now that we've gotten to the point where there's full cursor support on iPad OS, the next step is to let you plug it into a 4K or even 5K monitor and drive it like a computer with a keyboard and a mouse, because you no longer are limited to touch interface for apps on the iPad. That time has passed. So I'm not sure I would use this, at least in the near term, but I do know that some people would. And I honestly kind of like the idea. If you become an iPad primary person, why should you not have the ability? If the iPad is truly about flexibility, to have a bare tablet with touch, have a pencil, have a keyboard or a keyboard and a trackpad, why not increase that flexibility one more step and say you can actually dock it to a big screen with a keyboard and a mouse and continue using your iPad? I think we're at that point now. All the other pieces are in place. This seems like not a very... I think this is a really doable thing, a really winnable thing for Apple, because everything else seems to be prepared for it. So I think it's time that you should be able to get a nice big monitor and plug an iPad into it and just run your apps on the monitor.
Yeah. I don't have an iPad Pro, so this is not a thing that I've gotten bitten with.
I don't have a big external monitor.
Yeah, so, there we go. Yeah. So, I agree with you.
But I think it's time.
It's another indication of sort of a larger theme here, which is if you're talking about how the iPad, you know, is a computer, quote unquote, right? Like an Apple does like to sort of do that as a marketing campaign, then it should be able to do all of the things a computer can do. Yep. And by a computer, I mean Mac.
Yeah. Why not scale it all the way up?
That's right.
This is a last thing that it could do that will bring it even further into being scaled up. So other things jump out at you from the list that we didn't get to that you want to at least mention?
Well, you had a bunch of shortcuts improvements.
I did.
Which I think are all nice. I mean, shortcuts is cool, and you've spent a lot more time with it than I have. It does seem like it's just needs some work.
My shortcuts summary is, and I'll probably write something up about this, but first off, I think there need to be global keyboard shortcuts, and that includes running shortcuts, but mm-hmm. also that gets Apple away from the issue of the fact that there's no function row on the mm-hmm. Magic Keyboard. Mm-hmm. Just let us select, assign some keyboard shortcuts for volume up and down, play pause, next track, previous track, backlighting up and down, and brightness up and down. You can do that. I have that on my Mac. I used a keyboard without function keys for a long time on my Mac, and it was fine because I had assigned those to other keys. In fact, I don't use the media key for play and pause. I use a different keyboard shortcut that I've been using for like 15 years, and it's probably 20 years, and because I prefer it. So let us do that. But more broadly, that would allow automation to happen because you could use keyboard shortcuts to kick off shortcuts. Other stuff. It's just like when you're building shortcuts, it's super rudimentary. You can't select a bunch of blocks and like copy them and then paste them into another shortcut. So the only way to move stuff that you build in one place to another place is either to duplicate the whole shortcut and then build around it, or literally is to just switch back and forth and rebuild it and make a copy of it, which is silly. So other improvements like that to the development tool. I want the sharing to be better. Right now you have this scary setting that you have to turn on in the settings app in order to share shortcuts, and I get that there's some concern about evil shortcuts or something, but like my statement about Mac security, like I feel like that should probably be in the shortcuts app, and it should probably be a little bit friendlier. Also, a bundling system, like one great way to do shortcuts now that gets around some of these other problems is that you can include like subroutines in a separate shortcut, but there's no way to kind of like collect them together and say, get this and you'll have a system. It doesn't work like that. There you can't do folders and shortcuts to organize your shortcuts. And then tangentially related, but I'll mention it here, I think a next step for the iPad Pro is shell access, which is basically the terminal. And people are going to freak out and say, oh, well, you can't do that because of security and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you could do it in a secure way. We've talked about it before a little bit. I think they could do it. And I think that for in terms of being able to run shell scripts and things like that from shortcuts, it would be great. And also it would fit into some things for web developers and for app developers that they might want to do as well. And so a secure way to give people shell access is kind of related to that. So that's my shortcuts roundup.
Yeah, that's good. I had a couple things in here that I think will not happen because they are specifically adaptations I would like to see based on the current world situation and the way the timeline has worked. I don't think they're particularly likely, but I wrote a piece already about sort of having a temporary passcode option where you could temporarily default your passcode to, say, a 4-digit passcode while you're in a specific location or for a certain amount of time. So if you go to the grocery store, exactly. And this is kind of based on that, and they've made moves in this direction, but an improved group FaceTime interface. They disabled in 13.5, you have the option to turn off the whole like thing with the windows moving bigger and smaller and whatever. I think that they just need to revamp the group FaceTime. It seemed clear to me that it was not a feature that a lot of people were using. So maybe now that people are using it more, they have some more experience with figuring that out. And then something that we didn't talk about, which sort of links into that a little bit too, is we didn't really mention the watch much.
No.
But there are definitely, frankly, you could do worse than to go just look at _David Smith's watch OS 7 wish list, which is great. And he spends way more time thinking about that than probably anybody, possibly even people inside Apple.
Yep.
And so things that are, you know, adaptations where, rest days, for example, was a great something I wanted because I like to maintain my activity streak. But you know what? Sometimes you get sick or you're tired or, you know, whatever. And like you just need a break. And, you know, you don't necessarily want to push yourself to go walk around outside for half an hour if that's going to be detrimental in the long term. So some little more flexibility in understanding people's workout routines, or perhaps even encouraging them to be like, hey, you know what? You've done 6 workouts in the last 6 days. That's great. Maybe take today off. Recoup a little bit.
Right.
And see you back tomorrow. So I think just a smarter approach to fitness now that people have started to use their watch so much for that would be a big improvement.
Yeah, there are rumors about sleep tracking. I think that would be a great thing. It's probably going to require new watch hardware, or they'll make it require new watch hardware. You had an item in here of self-defined goals or rings. I like the idea of having like multiple dimensions and letting you choose. I think if they introduce sleep tracking, that has to be part of the story, right? Is that how much sleep you get has to be one of your goals. In some way, they have to visualize that. And if you get a bad night's sleep, maybe you need to take a nap or something in order to get caught up.
Right.
I don't know how that works.
But yeah, I
like that idea in concept. And I had a couple of watch items of, you know, basically more faces that actually have flexibility, like sort of like the California face does, but more of that and more flexibility and complications, more complication styles and areas where developers can then use those as templates essentially to build more data.
Yeah. Better updating for complications was something David mentioned as well. Like there are so many complications, I put it in and it's like, oh, this is great. And then you realize, like, oh, it almost never updates. Like, it's almost never current when I look at it, which is useless.
I had a couple other I've had things I want to mention. Screen sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a screen sharing app on the Mac, but there's not on the iPad. You can buy a third party. And not that I want to kill screens, which is great, but I think that it's probably something Apple should do, especially now that you've got a keyboard and a mouse on the Magic Keyboard. You can connect back to your Mac, and we all know how to do that. But having a basic screen sharing functionality built in somewhere would be nice. Even, you know, on the Mac, you can get it to it through the network browser. And I started to think, could you like just show a screen in Files and tap on it and share the screen? But I think maybe that's a thing that they should do, even though it would be just kind of Sherlocking third party tools. They're not going to be the best, the be all end all. There's still going to be room for a better one.
And I added to that screen sharing via FaceTime, which could also work cross-platform, which I'd love to see, just because of all those times we've all been trying to do troubleshooting, especially right now when you can't go help somebody, like a friend or a family member who's having trouble.
And again, third-party apps will do it, but perhaps it should just be in the first party.
Right. Messages lets you do it on the Mac, right? Like you can request to share somebody's screen.
Yeah.
That should just be there on the iOS side, too.
Pro apps on the iPad, that's going to be my thing forever. So Xcode, Final Cut Pro, Logic Pro, like pro apps on the iPad. If it's a iPad Pro, where are the pro apps? Let's see. I don't know. Those are my big ones. Do you have any iPad ones you should want to throw out there?
The other one was an iOS one in general, but third-party apps as default apps, right? Like that's been a rumor that they're going to let you choose that. I think that would be good for iOS. Yeah, I think that was the main thing for other iOS stuff.
Let's see, what else do I have? On the Mac side, I just put in Catalyst improvements. I want to hear from developers. I want to hear from Apple that they see the limitations of Catalyst and that they've made a bunch of changes to it, and not have it be like Catalyst remains in existence, and have the people who are relying on Catalyst to move things to the Mac get frustrated by what Apple's not doing. But who knows? I'm actually not a believer that that will happen, but this is not a draft of what will happen. This is a wish list, and I would like to see it. Shortcuts on Mac. And I know that that's kind of wacky, but the thing is, the more stuff that comes over to the Mac from iPad OS, the more frustrating it gets to do user automation on the Mac, because like I can't script the home app, right? I can't. I wanted to write a thing where it's like, when this happens, turn on the light on the Mac. And it's like, nope, you can't do it. You can do it through like like UI scripting kind of stuff from like Keyboard Maestro, but like you basically, it doesn't make any sense. So something like Shortcuts and bringing it over and having Shortcuts be the next generation, because as I wrote a piece about this for Macworld, I mentioned in passing, like there's so many things that Shortcuts is better at, because you know it's kind of like Automator, but it's 10 years on, and it's got a lot better stuff built in. And I know that Automator and AppleScript are not going to go anywhere. They're not going to disappear from the Mac. They're also not going to be updated for the Mac, essentially.
Yeah.
But you could bring in Shortcuts and start building the next generation of user automation on the Mac side. So I hope that
you really need some kind of melding of those two, because there's going to be apps that Automator will work with and apps that Shortcuts will work with. And
I mean, the beauty of it is you could absolutely do that, because you've got the whole scripting interface there. You could have Shortcuts have a run Apple script block,
and
like Automator does, and you know, there you go. And likewise with a do shell script block, and it wouldn't work on iPad OS, but it would work on the Mac, and then you can get to a lot of stuff that way. So I'm hoping they will go that way. I threw in a funny one, which is, why is it still called System Preferences? They've renamed every other parallel app on iPad and iPhone with Mac, and it should be called Settings. So maybe they'll actually change that sometime. That's a wish list item. Just call it Settings. Mm-hmm. Let's just get over it. It's I'm over it now. They shouldn't have different names. So either call... And I think Settings is maybe a better name for it. So Settings. Marco Arment's Low Power Mode... Yeah. The idea that you can actually say, like, don't go into turbo boost on these processors, because I really would prefer long battery life. I doubt they'll do this, because their solution to long battery life is going to be ARM processors. But mm-hmm. I think for Intel processors, it would be nice to do that. They can also announce cellular data controls for apps, which is for tethering. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's for tethering, mm-hmm. but sure. It's really so that there can be cellular laptops down the road. And messages using Catalyst. Because I am tired of Mac messages being way, way, way behind the times. So just do a new just bring over the iPad version of messages and let me have
maybe bring some of those improvements, the things you can do on the Mac to the
sure.
side too. There's some melding that could happen.
Great.
There, I think.
Yeah.
Do it up. It should be, but this is like your app that probably is the most used app on, definitely on the iPhone, I would argue. Probably not on the Mac, but it's probably up there. You know,
totally.
And I think you should show some love to them with some platform parity there.
Yep. And then the only one I have left, and I know you've got a handful left, is more generally the one that you alluded to earlier, which is my wish list is that not only do they announce an ARM transition, but they say you already have the ARM developer kit. It's the iPad Pro with Magic Keyboard. And if you take and you can download macOS for ARM and install it on your iPad, and it'll never be an iPad again, and you'll be very sad, but you can do it. So don't do it unless you're a developer, and then everybody will do it, and they'll be very sad.
I'm looking forward to that. The other things I had on here were a HomePod revamp, which we covered a little bit under the speaker thing, but it does, and it's sort of grouped with the Siri thing that you talked about at the beginning. It just needs to be better. The HomePod itself is a fine piece of hardware. There are rumors that they're doing a smaller, cheaper version, which I think will probably help adoption, but if the functionality of it isn't there, then there's no point in admiring the hardware. Right now, mine are basically, you know, 99% of the time, dumb AirPlay speakers. And they're fine at that, but they're probably a little expensive for what they are. I think I'd love to see a version with physical controls. I just love to see it work better, it know about all my other devices better. It's emblematic of all the problems with Siri. It's just not smart enough. And then along with that, sort of, and I mentioned this on the iOS side too, improved HomeKit / the Home app. I find I like HomeKit, but there are a lot of shortcomings. There are a lot of things that aren't compatible with it. It can be unreliable, both in terms of automations and in terms of just working sometimes. And the app is kind of a mess, much like the home screen on the iOS, feeling like maybe we've outgrown that. I feel like I like elements of the home app, but it does at times feel like it is behind the times. So I just think, HomeKit, it seems to have caught on a lot more in the past couple of years, and I'd like to see some attention paid to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I almost put something down, but I couldn't quite get my hands on it other than to say that it needs to be better.
It just needs to be better. Yeah, that was how I didn't pick it.
Home app 2.0. Yeah.
Yeah, it all needs to be improved. There's nothing more frustrating, and I've heard people say this on Twitter, and it's happened to me, when you're like, I've got automation. It turns my lights off at a specific time, and you get up the next morning or in the middle of the night, and you're like, why is that light still on?
Yeah.
Yes, why? That's literally the simplest thing you can do with a timer. I used to have a physical mechanical timer that did this just fine.
Yeah.
So get on that.
I enjoy HomeKit, and my HomeKit situation has sort of settled down, but yeah, there are places where the Home app itself is very frustrating, and then some of my shortcut stuff goes for the HomeKit shortcuts as well, where I have a really good shortcut that I built that I would like to use multiple times a day, and there's literally no way to do it except to rebuild it again and again and again, because I can't copy it, I can't duplicate it.
Yep.
It's so frustrating. All right, well, look at this. This was an action-packed episode of the Six Colors Podcast.
Woo! So much.
Yeah. But I thought we would do it now, 1 month out.
Yeah. This gives Apple time to go ahead and just implement all the things we just suggested, right?
Months. That's right.
Plenty of time. That's
right. We'll check back in a month and see how they did. See how we did. We'll find out who the winner of the draft is. And it's not for bragging rights, because this is a wish list. It's literally whoever of us gets more, will just be happier.
Oh, that sounds great.
So.
And gets the ability to cast ninth level spells. Bringing it around.
Call back. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.